With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows the resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold. LLC.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the Voice of the People. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling.
When you're in the trenches, you know, it's cool to shoot them bullets. How you gonna defend yourself when them bullets coming back?
Davis Fox, Santa Cruz is gonna fall to me.
Popular and acclaimed, defending WBA lightweight champion of the world.
If it was the streets, these niggas would have been smoked. Pack all the whole group up. Pack them up and get them the fuck out of boxing.
Haney, Cambosis, one of those folks, maybe Garcia.
All them guys is easy work. They're easy work, man. I'm the top dog.
The hard-hitting young star of boxing, three-division world champion.
Skill for skill. I'm much more skillful than Sinella. I stand on that. I'm much more skillful.
You and Composers, what happens, eh?
I'm whooping that ass. Tell him come see me. Tell him hold the belts. I whoop his ass for free.
The defending world champion from Baltimore, Maryland.
We from the city. Know what's happening, what's in the city.
TheBoxingVoice.com.
Gervonta Tank Davis.
SCS Promotion.
I remember walking in Mayweather gym, he sitting on the couch. I told him he a bum ass fighter. He ain't say nothing, not one word. He got a fur on, it's 80 degrees.
What up? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. First and foremost, I want to let you know that we are here to discuss Gervonta Tank Davis and the possibility of his potential next opponent. A lot of speculation that it will be Isaac Cruz, but there is some evidence pointing that there could be a potential new opponent. Now, who that may be, we just don't know, but we've gathered a lot of evidence. A lot of video and audio, some texts and articles just to show you what's been said, who these potential opponents are, and can we piece these pieces of the puzzle together to figure out who exactly Tank Davis is going to fight. Now, for some time, we all thought it was going to be Isaac Cruz. It seemed like the right choice. Coming off the Ryan pay-per-view, doing good numbers. Isaac Cruz himself has been on 4 pay-per-views, consistent, consecutive with the PBC. It seems like they've been building Isaac Cruz, grooming him for this position. But like I said, there is a lot of indication that there could be another super fight before Isaac Cruz. Reporter and journalist Ellie Setback spends a lot of time with Calvin Ford and Gervonta Tank Davis, and he conducted an interview, which I'm going to show you guys, with Calvin Ford, where, you know, he and Calvin insinuate that there is possibly something else before Esat Cruz that, and I quote, is coming down the line. So what could that be? I mean, when the WBC ordered Shakur to face Esat and Esat obviously publicly did not take that fight, we all assume he was staying available, turning down his shot at a WBC title because he would get a shot at a WBA champion in Tank Davis on pay-per-view in a bigger fight. But since then, Frank Martin has received an offer from Shakur and Top Rank that he has not taken. There's a purse bid scheduled for September 5th, which will let us know what exactly is going to happen with that fight. See, it was under, I was under the belief that Frank was going to accept the offer. I didn't think that PBC would actually try to outbid Top Rank so that they can have the promotional rights and broadcast rights to the Shakur Stevenson vacant title WBC matchup with whoever that be. Now, obviously, if they bid on a purse bid, it would be for Frank Martin. And we have to scratch our heads and say, damn, if Top Rank loses a Shakur Stevenson bid and PBC can have Canelo on their television, Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford on their television, then bring home the pound-for-pound fighter that is Shakur Stevenson on their television, they would have hit a home run. They would have hit it out the park. From a programming standpoint, they gave you all the biggest names in boxing on one location. That helps boxing fans know where to go for the best boxing. So it's very important what happens in that purse bid. Again, maybe Frank Martin is an option for Gervonta Davis, who magically there's some leaked sparring of Frank and Gervonta all over the internet helping build that fight. Maybe PBC doesn't win the purse bid, but tries to, gets outbid by the bigger promoter in Bob Arum and decides not to let Frank fight Shakur, and instead Frank can still fight their in-house fighter in Tank Davis. Or Frank versus Esat gets Tank Davis. Again, this is chess, not checkers. Al's not here to help Top Rank build the star in Shakur. So this is why we're talking about all these different options. Now, there's also Team Vasyl Lomachenko, who decided not to face Shakur, but have said that they would be willing to face Tank. Now, that's a fight that's been brewing for a long time. How realistic that fight is for next is solely up to you. I'm going to present the interviews from Team Lomachenko. I'm going to present whatever quotes we may have, and that's your decision to make based off what you hear Calvin Ford say, what you hear Lomachenko's team say. But then there's the, I guess there's the Hail Mary, the crossover fight, dare I say super fight. I don't know Sugar Sean O'Malley, but he seems to be picking up some traction with this Tank Davis situation. Now, we know what that means. I mean, Ngannou had to get out of the UFC to actually do a fight with a boxer. You had McGregor that had to give up 50% of his purse to do a fight with a boxer. Can Tank Davis do a crossover fight with Sugar, Shane O'Malley, or Sean O'Malley? I don't know. This probably would have been a better topic for the morning, being as though my co-host likes MMA and could have told us how big a fight with O'Malley is. Is O'Malley the type of star that can get some sort of clearance from the UFC to do a super fight with Tank Davis. But even Ryan had something to say about O'Malley trying to fight Tank Davis. And again, we're going to show you all this information. We're going to give it to you. I'm just, you know, presenting it to you. Then we'll give you right out the horse's mouth. And then we'll open up the phone lines. The number to call, 1425-569-5241. Press 1 right here to voice your opinion on today's topic. We're trying to figure out what exactly will be next for Tank Davis. Again, heavy speculation that it is Isak Cruz, but most recently, a lot of information indicating that Isak could possibly be later down the line. So I think that's the first piece we need to show. Why?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We believe that Isak could be not next, but instead later down the line, right? So I will go to that in just a minute. If you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead and hit that thumbs up button. It's going to help with the visibility of the show. It's going to help put this episode in the eyes of other boxing fans that don't know. We're talking boxing every day, twice a day, trying to bring the latest and greatest to all boxing fans. So this is Calvin Ford on what's next for Tank Davis. Shout out to Ellie Setback that conducted the interview with Calvin. And we'll let you hear this now.
What's next for Tank? Obviously, the Cruz rematch will happen down the line.
Yes. Right now, we're just waiting to see what.
Now, let's just go back.
Cruz rematch will happen down the line.
Yes. Right.
See, so he says, now, obviously, the Cruz rematch will happen down the line, and Calvin agrees.
Tank. Obviously, the Cruz rematch will happen down the line.
Yes. Right now, we just.
Now, I know that maybe you're like, well, why are we reading into what Ellie Setback is saying? But we all know, if we follow this sport, that Ellie Setback has a very good relationship with Team Tank, with the trainers, and with Tank himself. So he would know. But he led his witness, right? He said, what's next? Obviously, Pitbull is down the line. Calvin agrees and goes on to give what he believes is next.
Obviously, the Cruz rematch will happen down the line.
Yes. Right now, we're just waiting to see what is going to be the thing. You know, I haven't talked to him, like, sit down, like, man, you are one-on-one and see what his mental at, what he want to do, how he want to do.
So, again, he says, I haven't sat there and talked to him one-on-one to see where his mental is, to know what he wants to do, see what he wants to do. So that right there is clear indication that Isak Cruz isn't necessarily next, as they haven't even spoken to Tank. So any mention of Cruz, we've gotten from his trainer, Calvin Ford, who says, you know, his thing, and I quote, my thing is Cruz, you know. So they're there's more audio previously of Calvin saying they're waiting on a contract to come across his desk.
I don't know if we had two fights this year or three fights this year, but the goal was to have three fights this year. We had three fights this year, we did our goal. You know what I'm saying?
So again, obviously they didn't complete the goal since they only had two fights this year. But again, the most telling piece of information is this.
Thanks. Obviously, the Cruz rematch will happen down the line.
Yes. Right now, we just wait.
Down the line. Just again, I'm hanging on these words because we're in the eighth month. You know, many figured the final quarter would be Tank's return to the ring. It's not like Isak and Tank haven't fought in December. So, I mean, a lot of us are just thinking November, December, right? And down the line doesn't sound like this year. Just saying. It doesn't sound like this year. But All right, that's one of the many things that, you know, we want to present here to you. A lot more, for sure. We have, obviously, some news I want to share here of Tank, obviously saying that Crawford is no longer an option, right? So the speculation of a potential Tank fight with Crawford, that can end, as he's come clean and said that he was only joking.
And we're going to make sure, tell Terrence Crawford, keep his name out your mouth. You know what I mean? He talking crazy. You think about that one?
Nah, it was just some, you know, talking on some Twitter, like, back and forth. I was joking around, but people, you know how people do this. So I'm the face of boxing, so they make a big deal.
Hey, listen, face of boxing, we're going to make sure.
So that's him basically letting us know the Crawford situation was a joke, won't be happening. Then we have the O'Malley situation, which has picked up some steam on all platforms, MMA platforms especially. But this is Gervonta Tank Davis, obviously, says his trainer says that Tank would whoop Sean O'Malley's ass in one round. O'Malley comes back and says, laugh out loud, dude's only 5'2". And this is ESPN Ringside that picked it up. I never even heard of O'Malley till obviously the back and forth with Tank Davis. Never heard of this dude, never seen him fight, don't know anything about him. But if you Google Tank Davis, this name comes up a million times. Again, we've seen the UFC play very hard negotiations when it comes to letting one of their own face a boxer. With Floyd, you know, they demanded a big percentage from Conor's purse. And Ngannou didn't get that fight with Tyson Fury until he got rid of the UFC or released from the UFC altogether. So, it's a possibility, but I think a slim one out of all the possibilities. Definitely the slimmest one has to be the UFC crossover fight. Again, unless O'Malley is some sort of free agent, I just don't see how they can get that done. But here's a member of Team Loma basically telling you what fights they believe Loma wants next.
What fights, in your opinion, do you want to see Lomachenko have in 135 pounds?
I like Tank. I think the Tank fight would be a massive, I think that would be a contrast in styles, you know, that all of boxing would want to see. You know, the boxer against the puncher. I think that would be the, if I had to pick one, I'd say Tank.
And that's Russ Abner, been a long time member of Lomachenko, picking the Tank fight. We got another one here from Calvin Ford, also picking that Lomachenko fight as a possibility. Now, obviously, Calvin is being led by Ellie, but he gives his thoughts, and here's that footage. Once again, credit Fight Hype for the last video. Credit ES News for this.
I'd love to see Tank and Loma. Do you like that fight? Loma just beat Haney, but they robbed Loma, and Haney got the win.
Well, that's a good fight too. That's a good
two
fight.
Very Loma, intelligent fighters.
Loma will come out. That's a good fight. You can't point it out. That fight was supposed to happen, especially when Loma came to America. We thought that was going to actually happen. You understand? But You know, again, that's a good one. That's a good one. You can't out. You can't. And Loma would take that.
So that's Calvin on the Loma fight, saying that he believes it's a good fight. He believes that Loma would take that fight. There's quotes that could be found on YouTube. Let me see if I get one down for us. I thought I had one up. Where, obviously, someone on Team Loma's saying that they didn't want, you know, Shakur, but that they would fight Tank. I got Mike Hicks, $2 Cash App, says, O'Malley just wants a payday, payday Canelo voice. Okay, hey, I don't know anything about O'Malley, but all right. So this is Calvin Ford now eliminating Shakur as an opponent, right? Put that once again, credit Ellie. Here.
What about Tank and Shakur?
Like it's based on the his and B again.
See, right from the door, you know this ain't nowhere near next when he says it's based on the powers that be is what he meant.
And you know, that's a lot of moving parts with that. Like I said again, it's gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? It's just putting the stars and the moons and all that line up to make everything come together, you know.
You know that's a hard fight to make. You talking about stars, moons, everything, having to line up. So we know Shakur, for sure, is not next, you know. And we know for sure that Calvin Ford has made it clear that he hasn't even talked to Tank for the potential Isak Cruz fight. That's just something that he wants, right? So... we'll see, but I believe I'm going to get Jose Benavidez on today's show if everything goes well. And we'll talk a little David Benavidez and Demetrius Andre.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In the meantime, I do want to show you these dates. These are all requested dates from PBC. I'll take myself out and maybe try to minimize this slightly. So these are requested dates, potential dates the Tank could fight on. November 4th, T-Mobile or MGM Grand Hotel and Casino here in Las Vegas, Showtime pay-per-view for possible action. Another Showtime date, November 11th, another Showtime pay-per-view. As you can see, it says to be televised on Showtime pay-per-view, not to be televised on anything else. So these are all potential pay-per-view dates. December 9th, now that sounds like a Tank fight. The last Cruz fight was December 5th or 4th or 3rd or 4th, because third, one of them was 3rd and you know, Devin was like the 3rd and then Tank was the 4th, or Devin was the 4th and Tank was the 5th, something like that. Then you got December 30th, which is ballsy. They're talking 5 days after Christmas. They want to get us for another motherfucking pay-per-view. And then you got Top Rank, who put in the request for February 10th. And that's also in the Mandalay Bay, but that cannot be a Tank fight, right? So we got TGB Promotions that got 1, 2, 3, 4 requests. We got a request for November 4th, 11th, December 9th, and 30th, all potential Tank pay-per-view dates. Now, obviously, December 9th, you know, in a perfect, perfect world for us as fight fans, December 9th is Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford's rematch, right? They said they had to get it done before the end of the year, or December 30th is theirs and Tank has the ninth. Either or, it's a shitload of pay-per-views coming our way. And one of those dates are for Tank. Now, what else do we have to show you? We have Kenny Ellis and his thoughts on Tank potentially facing O'Malley. And we'll get to that.
Against Sean O'Malley. Davis trainer didn't think that Sean would really have a chance against Davis, though. Kenny Ellis stated, Tank gonna whoop his in the first round. Any tiny lightweight would beat him. Tank, Shakur, Haney, all those guys would beat him because they're boxers. All of them would knock him out. You better.
So that's Kenny Ellis on the potential fight with O'Malley, but it looks like we got Jose joining us. Jose Benavidez Sr., how are you, my friend?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
All good, here, man. Happy to have you back on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the invite, bro.
All right. So how are things going, man? How is Team Benavidez as a whole? Because I know Jose Jr. is also getting ready to get back in the ring, and then there's obviously a lot of talk with David and Andre. So how's the team all as a whole?
Yeah, Junior just fought like about 2 weeks ago in Washington, D.C. He won his fight. He looked good. He looks like he's in shape. And he was boxing, so super excited about that. And he has a big fight coming up soon. So we're ready. We're ready, man, to keep going.
So is he going to be campaigning at what division? You're saying he's got a big fight. I know that he likes to move around for that big fight, so there's really no clear weight destination with your son.
Yeah, whatever the opportunity is at, you know, we could do 154, we could do 160, not a problem. So right now, actually, he's right on weight. You know, he could do both. I think he's too light right now to do 160, but I think 154 should be good. But if not, we'll definitely do 160, no problem.
Now, obviously, after his win, he's calling out for a title shot. And it sounds like it's realistic, him versus Jermall Charlo. Do you think that's too big a jump? You just said maybe 160 would be too much. He's only had one fight at 160. But then you got Jermall Charlo, where you and the Charlo family already have history. Then you got Jermall that's been out of the ring over 800 days, Jose. How would a fight play out with Junior versus Jermall?
You know, to be honest, you know, I have a lot of respect for these guys. These guys are world champions, really good fighters. But at the end of the day, we got to prove ourselves. And, you know, whatever the opportunities are at, we have to go take them, you know. I think that will be a great fight because Junior hasn't been very active. Charlo hasn't been active. So why not, you know, have a fight like that, you know? Why not, I'm not saying that next, but why not do the two brothers against the two brothers? That would be a great card, you know? That would be good. If not, if we can't do that, we could definitely do Jose Benavidez Jr. with one of the Charlos. Doesn't matter who. Jermall is having a fight with soon with Canelo, so I don't think that's going to happen. So maybe make it with the big guy, with the big brother.
How realistic do you think that is? Do you think Charlo can be ready for this year, or you think that's next year?
I don't think Charlo will be ready for this year. He hasn't been ready. He has to put his act back together and go to work. I don't see him fight this year, for to be honest with you. So whoever, you know, if we could definitely fight Lara, that would be another good fight there. Lara, you know, I think will be another good fight with Ugas. I mean, there's so many fighters, man, at that weight, you know. So whoever's at that weight, whoever wants to fight Junior, we're ready. We're ready to go.
So obviously, you know, I know that you're working with Diego Pacheco's brother, Fed Pacheco. We just had Lorenzo Medina on the show, who's also a professional heavyweight. He and Fed met in the amateurs. And, you know, I wanted to get Fed on the show. I know that he's going to be on a September 15th card, right?
Yeah, but actually, yeah, he's fighting in Tijuana. And, yeah, he's getting ready for that. If everything goes well, he'll be fighting on the undercard of his brother in L.A., homecoming in L.A. So we're pretty excited about that.
How's the development coming along with him? Because you've had him from the beginning. And, you know, he's a young guy, but a very big guy. And the heavyweight division, obviously, is the casuals' favorite, right? They love it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm super happy with his performance. It seems like he's advancing little by little. And at the end of the day, he's the one that's motivated. He's the one that wants to become a world champion. So I'm just there, you know, to check everything that he's doing and make sure that he is progressing. And I have a great team behind me. I have Poncho. I have Javi. I have Britos. And all these guys and Junior Lopez, you know, we all work together. So we're trying to do our best in order for these guys to keep advancing and getting more tough fights. And that's what's happening. And everybody's super excited, super happy. And I can say the same for me. We're in a great position and we're super excited with all these fights that are coming our way.
So you got Fed in another four-rounder. This will be his fifth. How many amateur fights total did he have?
I think he only had like two amateur fights, man, to be honest
really?
With you. He had a little bit of fights. Yeah, he didn't really have. That's why I took my time to train him and get him some good sparring. And he's been training his whole life. I think professional boxing, it fits more for him, you know, anyways. But yeah, he's very dedicated. He's working super hard. And I think he's progressing. I'm super happy the way that he's progressing, you know. Super young, super hungry. He left L.A. to come to Seattle, Washington. So that tells me a lot.
For sure, for sure. So how far do you see him going? And how fast do you want to keep that pace?
Well, you know, to be honest, I was thinking about giving him a little break after the third fight and focus on him a little bit more. But he has so many opportunities, you know, that are coming up, you know, that he was fighting for PBC. I got him in a couple of cars in PBC. And now DAZN Matchroom is very interested in him. So they got him a fight in Mexico. They got super excited. They put him on TV. And now they give him another fight. And now they want him to fight on Diego's card. So, I mean, like I said, I was thinking about give him a break and focus a little bit more. But, I mean, these opportunities, you don't get them every day. So we're going to take advantage of that.
For sure. He's only 19, so I can understand why you don't want to rush him. But I also understand why DAZN is interested. You know, he's 6'5", and he's Mexican, and he's a heavyweight. We don't see that a lot. Obviously, Andy Ruiz has had his success, but outside of Andy and Gilberto, they don't come this big. Do you see him being a future heavyweight champion? Obviously, with the right fights and taking your time, but does he have that talent in him?
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Yeah, you know what? I think there's no doubt he is going to become a world champion. And the reason I say that, because he's super dedicated, man. You know, his mind is just boxing. He's just super focused in boxing, man. And I believe what makes me believe that is that nobody really pay attention to him, you know? It's like Junior and David. Nobody really pay attention at David at first. And he reminds me a lot of about that, you know? So these guys, they got to prove themselves and they got to work a little bit harder in order for them to be known. And this is the case here with Federico Pacheco, you know? The superstar is Diego Pacheco. And Federico, you know, has just been on the side, you know? So I think he's super excited. He's super focused. Doing a lot of sacrifices, very disciplined. So that's what makes me think that he is going to be a world champion. Because if he keeps with the sacrifices and the hard work and the dedication and the discipline that he has, nothing to stop him.
Well, speaking of Diego Pacheco, you called him a superstar. Do you think that he is already on the cusp of superstardom, or will it take that fight that's been marinating ever since Berlanga signed to DAZN?
Yeah, you know, I think that we need that fight, you know. I'm not underestimating the fighter that he's going to fight next. But he should beat this guy, you know. Not a problem, you know. I hope that he does it in a fashion way. He looks spectacular, like he's been looking, in order to keep progressing. We want that fight. We want that fight. He told me he wants that fight with Berlanga. He wants that fight with the other kid, Munguia. So he already wants those big fights, you know. It's a matter of time, you know. I don't think these guys want to fight him right now. They will not want to risk their undefeated records, you know, against Diego, a guy that they have everything to lose, nothing to gain from. So we got to continue proving where we at. But I guarantee you right now, we ask for those fights, and they don't want to give them those fights right now. So we got to prove ourselves.
Do you think you need to put him in there with a durable former world champion, maybe like a Caleb Truax, not Caleb Plant, just someone that can give him rounds? He's only been
eight
rounds two times, six rounds one time.
Yeah, no, for sure. We need to put him, you know. I don't know if you know, but Berlanga fought this guy, the one that we're going to fight. And this guy dropped Berlanga, I think, in the 10th round or 9th round, somewhere around there. He dropped him, and he gave him a hell of a fight. So we have to look impressive in order to see where we at, you know. We can't just go on decision. Berlanga beat him in a decision. We can't do that. We have to stop this guy. We have to look impressive in order to compare those two fighters, you know, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to shock the world. We have to look impressive in order to let the people know that he's ready. And yeah, you're right. You know, we have to fight those guys. You know, we're willing to fight Berlanga tomorrow. We're willing to fight Munguia tomorrow. I mean, but they will not give him the opportunity to fight. So whoever's there, you know, that is bringing danger to his undefeated record, those are the guys that we want to fight. But at this point, nobody wants to fight Diego Pacheco.
Is it that difficult? Do you think that people are already avoiding him on his side of the street?
I think so, you know, because, you know, if you look at his last four or five fights, he's been looking spectacular. He's been looking impressive. It seems like he's learning and getting better and better every fight. So that's why they don't want to fight him, you know. They feel that it's why? Why would they fight Diego Pacheco when it's not mandatory, or, like I said, they have nothing to win, a lot to lose. And I think that's the reason they don't want to fight him. But we're ready. He's ready. He's ready for those opportunities, and he's ready to show the people his skills.
Coach, any pressure on you to have Pacheco continue to look spectacular, as you said, and continue to get the knockouts? It's been six straight knockouts. Is that something that's in the back of your mind, keeping the streak going, or do you just, you know, one fight at a time, and a win is a win?
One fight at a time, you know. I see that he's progressing. We have a good chemistry. I think we make a good team. And like I said, he's looking better and better. It's all up to him to continue being disciplined and doing what he's doing. And I think at the end of the day, I'm just here to make sure that he's on the right track and he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. And he pays a lot of attention. And, man, you know, everything that I tell him, you know, we're working a lot on feints, a lot of jabs, a lot of body shots. Those uppercuts are coming out beautiful. So we're working on basics, fundamentals, and he doesn't get tired of that. And he believes on what we're doing. I was just talking to him yesterday about the game plan that I have for this guy and how we should execute this fight and do, and we're on the same page. And he said, yeah, you're right. I've been looking at this guy, and this is what we're going to do, and we're on the same page, man. So that's why I feel that he's going to look impressive. And we're in a good stage, man. Like I said, we're going fight by fight and just doing the best that we can do to get him ready for a fight.
So I have to ask, what happened with Rayo? It seems like you guys are no longer together and he's going to be going into that Colbert rematch without you, or are you guys going to be doing that fight together?
You know, that's a little bit complicated right now. I have never, ever been in that situation before. I adopted this kid. You know, he came and lived with us. I fell in love with the kid. I love him still as a son, you know. It's super hard to just forget somebody when you live so many years together and you build something from nothing to something, you know. I wish him the best. I think he has all the tools to become a world champion and be a world champion. But he just has to stay focused, work hard, and be disciplined. That's the only thing that he has to do. Unfortunately, you know, he said that he didn't feel that he was getting the attention he needed or the time or whatever. And he felt that he had to go back to his old roots and to his old gym and work there. And, you know, and I told him, well, yeah, no, congratulations, man. You know, I'll support that. You know, if that's how you feel and that's what you want to do. I mean, I'm happy for you, you know, whatever is your career, you do whatever's best for your career. I'm here to help you. I always been here to help you. I've been through a lot, you know, but if you decide you want to go somewhere else, I'm still going to be there, you know, if you want me there. And if you don't want me there, I will respect that too. And there's no problem, you know. So he left to the gym and the next day, you know, I was a little confused, a little hurt. And I called him and I asked him, hey, listen, well, I manage him. I told him, hey, if you want, you know, I'll give you your contract, you know, don't worry about it. You know, I'll give you your contract back and, you know, the new people can manage you and or you can find another manager, do whatever you want. And he said, no, he wants me to continue managing him. So that's a little bit different. I don't want to be in his way. I just manage him and I got him the rematch right away the next day. I send them the contract. They send it to me. I send it to them. And so we're just waiting for a venue. We're waiting for a date. And that's what I'm doing. I'm just dealing with the contracts and making sure that if he's going to get the fight, if not, we'll probably get somebody else. Because one day Colbert says he's going to fight him, and the next day he says he doesn't have to fight him. So at the end of the day, we can't make him fight him if he doesn't want to fight. That both of them need that fight, you know. They both need that fight, so I think they have to do the rematch, you know. But if not, you know, it's the contract's already signed; it's ready to go. We just need to look for the venue, and that's what it is. I still manage him, and I was thinking when he fights, should I go? Should I not go? You know, because I don't want to be in his way. You know, I want him to stay focused and win that fight. You know, so. I'm in the process still, you know, trying to see what should I do, what should I not do, you know?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I mean, I would definitely recommend asking him, you know, is it okay to be there? Because you don't want to not show up and then he's like, oh, he's supposed to be my manager. He didn't even come to my fight. And also, I just got to ask, I know you kind of said it is difficult, but how difficult, right? Because at the end of the day, as a manager, the fighter is your investment. You've invested money into him. Now you're not allowed to be the trainer to really see, is he 100%? Which means you don't know if your investment is 100%. I mean, that's got to be pretty difficult.
Yeah, super difficult. That's why, you know, like I said, you know, I talked to him the next day when he left, and we talked about the contract and all that. I got him a rematch from then to now. It's been about a month or so, more than that. I haven't even talked to him, you know. He hasn't called me. I haven't called him because I don't want to bother him. There's no fight yet. There's no venue. So until we have that, or if he has any questions, I think he's going to call me. And then we can start little by little, start talking again and seeing, you know. But right now the fight is made. We're just waiting for the venue. They were so busy with all these other fights with Terrence Crawford and what's her name, Errol Spence. Now they're super busy with Canelo and Charlo. So I think they're pretty soon they'll let me know when he's gonna fight. Until I have those dates and the fight, then that's when I ask him, you know, what makes him feel comfortable, you know. At the end of the day, you know, I'm not here for the money, man. I'm here to do something that I love to do, but I do not want to be in a corner that they don't want me to be, you know. That's not the case here. I don't know. I'm going to have to talk to him when the time comes and we have a date, and then I would definitely love to be there, you know. I mean, and if I can't be there, I'll definitely be watching, you know. I mean, I'll definitely tune in, you know. I care what happens to him, and I care for him as a son. And things happen in life. You got to adjust, and you got to keep going. At the end of the day, it's his career. I wish him the best, and I will help him as much as I can. And he just has to make a call, you know, and I'm there for him.
For sure, for sure. So moving on, obviously Dan Rayfield finally came out about a couple weeks ago and released the numbers for your son's pay-per-view. 150,000 is what he's saying. It did, give or take. That's pretty good financially when you do the math. You know, that's over 12 million, not including the gate. Were you satisfied? Were you, were you happy with the overall event outcome and the numbers?
You know what? To be honest, I was super happy to be fighting Caleb Plant. That was a very satisfying win. I like Caleb Plant, man. He proved a lot of balls, and my respects to him. That was a big fight for me and for our career, you know, for David. And that's what I was more focused on, man. You know, I knew that we couldn't lose that fight, you know, and it was a great fight. Super happy. I didn't really care about the numbers for pay-per-views. I think you keep working. You don't focus on money. You know, you just keep looking next spectacular, and the money will come, you know. And the pay-per-views, you know, you just got to get to all these people, make exciting fights. And I think the pay-per-views will be there. I'm super satisfied, super happy with the outcome of everything, you know. With PBC, I want to thank PBC, Al Heyman, for all that hard work. And they treat David super good, and I couldn't ask for anything else. You know, they're doing a great job, and everything they're doing and the opportunities they're giving us, it's super good, and I'm super thankful for that.
Now, I don't want to make you sound like a bad guy, right? But, like, secretly, in a small place inside of you, you got to be happy that Errol Spence didn't win, because there's been so much talk of potential fights with Canelo and Errol. Now that's one less fighter that Canelo can fight, which means there's a big possibility David does end up being one of the last two fights on Canelo's three-fight deal. Do you look at it that way?
No. You know what? To be honest, man, I'm tired, man, of people asking me about Canelo. You know, to be honest with you, the man, you know, to me, he's a great boxer. It would be super hard for another fighter to do what he's done in his career. my respects to him. But I don't see that fight happening with David, you know. And I made an interview like about 4 days ago with another reporter. And I told him, he said, oh, no, that fight is going to be made and it's going to happen. And I told him, listen, he says, if that fight happens, you're going to have to take me out to dinner to a nice restaurant. I said, man, we don't need to do that. I'll take you to a restaurant. If we make it or not, it doesn't matter. But I'll guarantee you something. If that fight happens, all the money, my purse that I make, I will donate it to a good cause, you know, a foundation for kids or something. All my money, I would donate it, you know. But that fight is not going to happen, bro. You know, to be honest with you, Canelo says that he thinks that he, a lot of people are saying that his career is going, it's inclining. And he says that no, that this and that. I mean, the man has done so much, you know, and he had put a lot of hard work in the gym. And that's when people get worn, you know, and a lot of hard work and training camps and all that. I think that David is too young for him. David's too strong for him. And he knows that. So he doesn't want to lose to David. And that's why he doesn't want to give him the opportunity. So I don't think that fight is going to happen. And he's right about that. And that fight is not going to happen. So we got to continue fighting all these other guys. We got to wait to see. And I'm wishing and I'm hoping that Charlo will win. And that's a better fight that might happen. I think that fight's more realistically could be done. Charlo and David Benavidez, if he wins, than Canelo and David.
Well, at least Charlo did say that. He said if he wins, he looks forward to fights with Benavidez and I think it said Andre, which brings me to, you know, you. Obviously, there's been a lot of news. A few months ago, there was a lot of talk of potential Morel Benavidez. The Morel Benavidez talk has died down, and now it's all about Boo Boo Andre. He seems to be in training. Is your son equally in training for that potential fight? Because Boo Boo's cut his dreads, and every day he's posting a new workout video.
Yeah, you know, the reason that we're in negotiations with Boo Boo Andrade, and David, fuck, after his last fight, he took like about a week, and then he came back to work, and he's been working. I didn't want to put anything because, you know, I didn't want to scare him away, you know. But David's been fucking training. And that's the least. If you see, I haven't posted anything. I haven't done anything because, man, it's getting to the point that nobody wants to fight him. And a lot of people say that we're scared of people. We're not scared of nobody, man. We'll fight anybody. A lot of people said that we didn't want to fight Morel. Come on, man. We asked for Morel so many times. And even his trainer said that he wasn't ready. And now he says that we're scared of him. Come on, bro. We wanted to fight him. We're pretty close to closing a deal with Boo Boo Andrade. I think he's a great fighter, a very slick fighter, a very tricky fighter, and it's going to be a hard fight. But I'm pretty sure, I'm very confident that David is going to stop him, and he has to stop him in order to go to the bigger and better fights, man. But he is a very dangerous fighter. We're not underestimating Boo Boo Andrade. He's a good fighter, a very dangerous fighter. So we're treating him like a world champion, you know, and train super hard for this fight.
Now that has to get Canelo's attention, right? Canelo knows exactly who Andre is. He called him a horrible fighter. He said he never fought anyone. So if he now gets in the ring with Benavidez beats him. I mean, surely he's got to get Canelo's attention with the win.
You know, he's going to say that I talk a lot of shit. That's the only thing that he says. His father talks a lot of shit. That's why I don't want to fight him. That's not how you make fights. But then I see a fucking, he's training and he's saying, yeah, motherfucker. He's saying motherfucker to Charlo. We're like, what the fuck?
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
So have you tried, I guess the new thing is, you know, Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence, they called each other. Have you tried calling Eddie Reynoso and having a one-on-one between coaches and managers?
You know, it's funny, man, because, you know, when David became a world champion at 168, there were talks that they wanted to fight David for the world title at 168. They thought, hey, this kid is 20 years old. You know, he's super young, not a lot of experience. Let's fight for that belt. And they did contact us, and then we did talk for about 2-3 days that he wanted to fight him. And then after 2-3 days, they said, nah, never mind. We don't want to fight him. So that was the first time we talked. And then we've been, when he was a champion again, we gave him the opportunity to fight, and he said no. And then when he got stripped, that's when they jumped in and said they wanted to fight at 168. But no, we've been talking to him, and you know, the closest that I got, it was the first time when he was 20 years old, but that's about it.
Well, I got a couple questions here from the people. I got Huang in Houston. You did an awesome job raising two talented fighters. When are you going to do a documentary on your life? Over the years, us fans have enjoyed anecdotes and glimpses into your rise, and it's very inspiring. Any documentaries coming, Coach?
Yeah, no, not right now, man. I'm focusing on just training and doing what I love to do. Doing all that, you know, it takes a lot of time, you know, to record, and I barely have time right now to, like I said, I have Diego Pacheco, Daniel Blancas, David Benavides, Jose Benavides Jr., Federico Pacheco, and then I have like about other 10 guys that are on the way up, you know. I have no time, man. Hopefully in the near future, you know, we've been through so much, a lot of sacrifices, a lot of tears, a lot of blood, and a lot of screaming. And you know, there's been times that I don't talk to these guys for a week or two because it's so painful and it's so hard to train your own kids, man, that I think it's going to be interesting. And yeah, hopefully when everything stops kind of a little bit, I think that's when we're going to go with that story, man. It's not going to be a good story, man. It's going to be a sad story, man. And we've gone through so much with drugs, shooting, and all that shit, man. You know, so that's a little preview right there, you know?
For sure. We got Sincere 1996. I greatly appreciate you coming on The Boxing Voice and your willingness to address fans' questions. I want your perspective on the recent concerns surrounding drug testing problem in boxing, particularly the instance of fighters testing positive for banned substances in recent weeks. How often is Junior being tested by the commission? And David,
man,
thanks.
Man, you know, it becomes now to a point that, fuck, you just so just hate it, you know, because they get tested so much. But at the end of the day, I'm so thankful and happy, you know, because I could go to sleep okay, you know, because at the end of the day, sometimes with all this fame and all this money and all these friends, sometimes, you know, you could get pulled by all these parties and drugs and substances, you know, that are not good for your body. And I feel really good, man. I'm thankful that they have these programs and they're checking guys, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, it's good. I think it's really good. I give a 2 thumbs up, you know, for all these things that are happening. But yeah, man, they get tested like 2-3 times a month sometimes, you know. It's a lot, but I think it's a good thing.
I got Terrence Johnson. Much respect to you and everything you have done for the sport. Why is Canelo not being forced to fight your son when he has been the mandatory challenger for so long?
Well, when you're the king of boxing and you make all this much money, I mean, nobody can really tell you what to do. You do whatever you want to do, I believe. Hopefully, we get to that level, and hopefully we don't do the same. If you guys see me do the same, slap me in my face or do something.
I got Mosby 700. If Canelo fight does not happen soon, would you guys consider moving up to 175 to face Dimitri Bivol or Archer Beterbiev? Shout out from Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, you know, I'm not doing based off of Canelo. We don't do none of that, you know. We were thinking, you know, if we don't get the Boo-Boo, if we don't get the Morels, if we don't get the guys, I don't know who else is there at 168. There's no – and this guy's going to hostage these belts for whatever time there is, and the commissions are not doing anything. The sanctions, you know, are not making them five mandatories and all that. Well, definitely, yeah, we'd love to move to 175. We would love to fight B-Ball, Betevere. I think those are the two guys that are dangerous and champions. We would love to make those fights happen. If these fights don't happen here, we could definitely fight 168, 175, not a problem.
I got Trav in Texas. There were reports earlier this year that had you saying Canelo was drinking now. If this is true, how did you learn this information, and how bad is his drinking problem?
No, that, you know, shit, everybody drinks. I drink. Everybody drinks, you know. What I said was that maybe I don't know what happened, but what I said was that, you know, Canelo has worked so hard. He's been a professional fighter since he was 15, 16 years old. He's been in a lot of camps. I never seen the man drinking or partying or going on vacations, you know. Now we see that a little bit more, you know. He looks happy, you know. He's enjoying his life, and I mean, good for him, you know. But what I said is that the body's not the same, you know, and he does have a lot of businesses too, and he's playing golf a lot, and I think that's to any advantage of any fighter that wants to fight him. You know, I don't think he's focused 100% in boxing. He's has other things that he's has to take care of, and it's so much, you know. The man makes so much money. He has other businesses that sometimes when you have a lot of money, you got to take care of your other businesses, because then you're going to lose money, and sometimes you don't go to sleep. So that's what I said.
Coach, I'm going to screen share this here for you. Did you know that Canelo had that many rounds boxed? 472 rounds boxed. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but I can imagine, like I said, you know, he's been so disciplined and working so hard, man. And I mean, they've been doing a great job. And, man, that's a lot of rounds for his body.
Exactly. Your son only has 130 in comparison. Canelo has 470.
Almost three times, four times more.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy, so you right?
Yeah, you can see. I mean, the body, man, all that wear and tear, man. You know, I mean, in Canelo's mind, he thinks he's super fast. He's good. He's all that. But, you know, when we see him fight, you know, the body doesn't want to go anymore. And that's why I see that I think Jermell has a good chance to beat him.
I got Flacco 38 from California. Is Team Benavidez still cool with Rayo? And do you think David stops Andre? Well, you answered both. You said you're definitely still, he's still your son, and you do want your son to get the stoppage over Andre. If you want to add anything, if not, we could get to the next one.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, no, like I said, I love Rayo like my son. You know, I'm here for whatever he needs, you know. Yeah, you know, we have to stop Andre, you know. We have to, man. We have to go in there with a good game plan and give him a beating, you know. I like Andre. He's a good guy, you know. He's never talked shit about us. I'm not talking shit about him. It's just that we have to look impressive in order to get to the world title and be the best at 168.
GP3000, I think you've answered this. If you don't think Canelo will fight David, are you guys considering 175, or you just want to take out other top 168 pound fighters?
We're ready after this fight with Boo Boo. We're gonna have to go to 175. We're gonna have to try to see if we can get a fight with B-Ball. And like I said, Betebeard, those are the two guys that we would love to fight. We have a fight almost closing up. Bubu Andrade, I think they're 100% ready to go on board, and we're just waiting for them to sign. And that's the fight we want, you know. So we're just waiting on their team and to make it happen. We're almost there. We're almost there.
Wait. To be clear, you're saying you only need Andre's team to sign.
Yeah, just, we just need them to sign.
Okay.
Yeah, because well, I mean, that's who we want to fight. So we're just waiting for them, you know, to take that fight, you know. I mean, that's who we want to fight, like I said, you know. I think he's a dangerous fighter. That's the guy. They have sent them the contract, and we're just waiting. We're just waiting. So maybe today or tomorrow. I mean, we're super close to closing. Everything looks great. Everything looks really good. And we're ready. We're ready to go. So how's that work, Jose?
Can you walk us through that? Are there deadlines on these contracts? How long can a fighter sit with this contract in his possession without responding?
I think we're just, you know, I think what's holding us right now is just the venue, the date, and little things like that. So they, you know, the last time that I heard was that they were looking for a venue and the date. So
it's not going to be Phoenix?
I have no idea. You know, to be honest with you, I think it's probably going to be Las Vegas. Okay. But like I said, you know, those are the big details right now, you know, just trying to find the venue and the date. I'm pretty sure that Bibo maybe already signed. Bubo Andrade has already signed. So like I said, I'm just waiting. So we're almost there. We're just waiting for new updates. But I think we're like 98% there, you know. So maybe he has signed already, and like I said, now that he signed, maybe they're just looking for the date or the venue.
December or November, because these are TGB dates that they've requested. Hold on a second here. Shit. These are dates that they've requested. November 4th is a pay-per-view date for TGB, which is obviously a promoter that works with Al. November 11th, December 9th, December 30th. What's more comfortable for Team Benavidez?
Whatever. To be honest with you, we're ready. This is what we do, you know. For me, a month or a week or 2 weeks, it does not matter, you know. I just want to have a date, get ready for that fight, and we're flexible, you know.
Yeah, but Coach, think about it. If you fight November 4th, November 11th, David, nor you as a trainer got to worry about David sacrificing through the holidays. If you fight December 9th,
you know
now he's got to sacrifice through Thanksgiving.
Man, we sacrifice in life. So many birthdays, so many Christmases, so many, you know, now that he's getting paid more, you know, to be honest, that's not in our mind, man. You know, we will have plenty of time to enjoy and celebrate, you know. We're just focused on boxing, man. So if it's on Christmas or it's on his birthday, he fought so many times on his birthday and Christmas and holidays like that we know already, and we're willing to make those sacrifices and put the work in. So we just want to make the fight happen. So it doesn't really matter, man, to be honest with you, what the dates are.
These are the last two. And again, I believe you've answered this. It's up to you if you want to add anything. If not, we do appreciate your time. We got Grandy Embry that says, from Cincinnati, if David gets past Andre, who would be the next opponent you guys are looking at next? We've kind of answered
that. You know, we were trying so hard. You know, I forgot to mention that we were trying so hard to make that Munguia fight. You know, and we were negotiating, and we were they offered him 60-40 in a big payday also to make this fight with David, a pay-per-view fight. And we were negotiating. They came back and they said, no, we want 50-50 because Munguia can sell. And I told him, yeah, sure, no problem. Give him 50-50. Not a problem. Let's make it happen. And then after that, they said that they decided to fight somebody else, and probably they would love to do it next year. And that's what happened with him. We were negotiating. He didn't want to take the fight. We gave him what he wanted. And he's a great fighter, a good fighter. That's the other fight we're going to look for. But, I mean, two young guys. But right now, I don't see nobody at 168, to be honest. I don't know. You guys tell us. Who's up there? Who should we fight up there, you know? But the only other guy that I see that it's up there, you know, but I think he needs a little bit, maybe like maybe two fights, maybe. It's Morrell. But you know, he's a good fighter, great fighter. He's going to get more experience, and he's going to be a more dangerous fighter in about two fights. So I think that's the only one, him and Bubu. Bubu's a great fighter. Nobody wanted to fight Bubu. So hopefully Charlo after Canelo, but that's about it.
Now, Coach, obviously Benavidez is the bigger name. He's been on pay-per-view. He's fought the bigger fighters. What did it take a lot of convincing for your son to say, yeah, let's do 50-50 with Munguia?
Like, no, man. You know, we're so funny, man. I think we're the only ones, you know, that are not afraid of nobody. We're not Instagram fighters or social media fighters, you know. We just want to make those fights because we think that, okay, if we beat this guy, you know, we proved a little bit more. We proved a little bit more, and that's what we got to do in order to get to the bigger guys, I think. And right away when they said 50-50, they, you know, when it's funny because when we fought Caleb Plant, you know, he said he wanted the blue corner rival gloves and 22-foot boxing ring, and he wanted to come as a champion. We said yes to all of it right away. So that's what they wanted to say over here with Munguia, and we told him yes to everything they asked for. And David said, yeah, sure, no problem. Give them whatever they want, anything that they want, you know? So we're very – I think we're the only ones that are super easy to work with when we were – actually, we were kind of negotiating a little bit with Canelo now that I remember. And, you know, they said, hey, you know, so they offer him what, like a good amount of money to take that fight with David. And they told me, but you guys have to take the minimum in order to make that fight happen. I'm like, fuck yeah, we'll fight him for free, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, if we beat Canelo, man, that will be David's a superstar. And even though if we lose to Canelo, still, you know, he's known by everybody around the world. So money doesn't really matter at this point.
Well, Coach, those are all the questions. Well, actually, there is one more. But again, I feel like you've answered that. And that is from James Valdez, San Antonio, Texas. As Rayo's trainer, if you could get one rematch lined up, would it be De Los Santos or would it be Colbert rematch and why? Now, you're not the trainer anymore. You are the manager, and you've already said that you got him the Colbert rematch. So obviously you thought the Colbert rematch was a more winnable fight for Rayo over the De Los Santos rematch?
Yeah, that's a good question. I like that question, actually, man. You know, to be honest, I still manage him, so I can still kind of make decisions and kind of advise him of what to do. But I think the Colbert, it's an easier fight, you know. I there's no doubt, you know, with good preparation, staying focused, a lot of discipline, Rayo can stop Colbert, you know. I don't think – I know Colbert now knows who he's going against now. So he's going to try to stay away from Rayo. But I think the other one, man, would be a great fight, you know, because that was the one, you know, that that guy proven to be stronger than Rayo. And I mean, we would love a rematch with Los Santos. You know, that's a fight that makes a lot of sense, you know.
Yeah, he looked good in his last fight with Adorno. But, Coach, those are all the questions. I want to thank you, obviously, for giving us some time. I've been trying to set something up with Federico. It would be great if we could get him on before his fight, give him some shine as well. Please give out your social media for anybody that isn't following you, and thank you again.
Yeah, no, for sure. They can follow me at Jose Benavidez Sr., and I'll try to get you that interview with him. And I think he would love. I don't know who have you reached to get an interview with him.
No, I spoke to him. We lost track on the dates, but he said yes for sure. Okay. We just got
to
get it down.
Yeah, no, he'll be happy to do that. So I'll see him tomorrow. I'll get you back in touch with him, and then you guys can figure out the times.
All right, Coach. Appreciate you, man. Thank you again.
Thank you.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Great interview with Jose Benavidez Jr. Father. That's Junior's father. Let's go out to Fats. What up? Fats. Gotta unmute. Don't forget, we got the phone lines open. 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 time. Voice your opinion right here. Voice of the People Hotline. You could also use Discord to call in or Twitter Spaces.
Yo.
What's up?
What's good, man? Look, CEO, your boy, yo. He sending my man cease and desist letters and shit. He can't talk about him. Nothing. Like, God damn, yo.
What?
Canelo. He sending my boy Benavidez. That's what it seems like. He's sending them. What them letters is when you can't talk about them?
Yeah, no, that's the letters. That's the letters, but I ain't know he said it. I ain't get it.
No, I'm fucking with you. I'm sure he ain't send it, but you heard what his father said. He ain't making a fight because he don't like how they talking about him and shit. Like, yeah, that shit crazy, bro. Now you got my man apologizing, going around. He got to apologize to everybody. No, man, that's some bullshit. And then I told you, yo, look. So Jamel Charlo say after this, they might rematch. And I don't know if he was talking about their fight or the Earl fight, but I believe he said he won't. He'll rematch Canelo in like the beginning of the year or the end of the year. He might have been talking about Spence. I'm not really too sure on that. But then you got Crawford. He's saying he'll fight Crawford. So it's like anything but David. Anybody but David. Like, bro, like I'm not. This is why
real. Like, I watch tele interviews and he talk about Crawford and says yes because people want it, but he clearly always says they ain't gonna give me my credit. He's small. They ain't gonna give me my credit, you know.
Yeah, but you know,
I just watched some new shit
like
today that he did with that boxing writer Monopolin or something. You know, I can't pronounce his last name, but yeah, he said it there again. You know, he's like reluctant to even say yes. He's more like, you know, look, man, he's moving up. They're already mad that I'm fighting this guy moving up. Now that guy's a welterweight, but look. You never know. Right. He leaves the door open. He says, look, you never know. Because, again, if the demand is there, what could he do?
Yeah, man. But it's just like, bro, like, yo, I'm just not a fan of it, bro. You came through like the Grinch, took my man belt while he wasn't home. Then he come back home from getting suspended off the shit. Then you ain't trying to give him a shot at his belt. Like, that shit phony, bro. Like. What he got to do, bro? Like, bro got.
I mean, he looking at it like you wasn't doing nothing with that belt. You wasn't unifying it. You wasn't wearing it right. I came through, took that, unified, undisputed. I've been making this division popping. Like, let's be real, though. When David had the belt, it's not like people was like, oh, I'm moving up to 68. That's a super division. It took Canelo to go up there for that to become the popping division. So, people just need to be happy, like at least the fighters.
Nah, because
now they got money in their division now. There wasn't no money there.
That you right about that. You right about that. But I'm talking about just from a competitor standpoint, bro. Like he ducking that man. Like that's evident, right?
Did he duck in Benavidez? I think he letting Benavidez get some maturity. Cause if he would have did him how Canelo got done by Floyd, then they'll be talking the same thing they say to Floyd. Like, oh, he did him when he was young.
I think you holding out hope, brother. That's what I think. But that was a good interview though, man. I enjoyed it, man. Appreciate the call.
Nah, you got it. What we got here? Ali. Gotta unmute, champ. Champ! Aldi on Twitter. Big face. What up, though? I hear you.
Yo,
Big
what's
face.
Up? What's up, Ness? Can you hear me?
Perfect.
Hey, Ness, I got a question for you, though. How do you send them counter punches?
Just a $5 cash app or counter punch or a $5 super chat on YouTube. So you can send it via cash app or YouTube and just put the word counter punch or the abbreviation, the acronym CP, and your right, area 10, code 10, or some 10, shit. Be like, yo, CP, 216, something like that. Or CP in your name if you on Twitter, you know, like yo, CP for Big Face on Twitter.
All right. Check this out though. I think I was listening to that show. Well, I was a day late because I was catching you on the
podcast app I got by the Shakur Stevenson and Devin situation. Shakur need to take, listen to what Senior was just saying, talking about how you take less money to get up there and all that, because, you know, man, like, I've been thinking about that shit all day, that topic you had on that, man. That shit got me hot, man. It's like, man, that nigga Shakur, man, he's just like straight up bitch ass shit, man. I don't fuck with that nigga no more, man. That's some sucker shit to me, because I just don't get it, man. And but that was a good interview with David, though, man. I mean Jose, but I like David, man. You know, and how they talk about taking fights, they real easy. That's how boxers should be, man. The best should just want to fight the best. Fuck all the money, shit. The money gonna come if you win. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's my opinion, man. I ain't got much more to say.
For sure. Nah, man. The issue is David is a throwback fighter, man. I remember.
He'll fight anybody.
He would, but I remember we had went to Phoenix for whatever fight, and David was just there. He came up to me and Danny so excited to tell us he had that plant fight, and he made us promise not to say nothing. We like, yo, I got the plant fight. You could see that excitement, that buzz in him, bro. Like, he's hungry for that, you know, legacy. He's hungry for more, for sure. Let me see here what we got. High and Low Sports sends from $2. Boxing Voices more. Retro Brown beats $5. At this point, fight anyone with a world title at least. And we want the best to fight the best. Then after that, Ness to fight Dubois. Just jab him to the jaw. Yeah, all right. It may look easy from the outside. I'm sure it ain't as easy as it looks. Shout out to Daniel Dubois. You feel me?
You may feel like it's your time, but it's not your time.
Damn, should I do this? I should. Fuck it, right? Give me a sec, family. Might as well, bro. I'm a hustler, right? I think Shushu is available. I definitely want to talk to him. The interview going to be passionate, because I watched that fight, and I cannot. I mean, he looked great, but I don't like that shit. I ain't like him standing in the pocket like that. Come on, shoot. Answer before I be up out of here. If anybody wants to call in, now is the time to do it. You can help me buy some time while we try to get Shushu on the line. Just put in that secondary request for my man Federico Pacheco. I like Fed, man. I love heavyweights, man. You gotta love heavyweights, cause you know it's where the action's at. All right, Shushu taking long. I'm trying to wait, Shu. He just hit me at 5:13, so it ain't, you know. If I would have seen it, we'd probably got him on. I kind of forgot this interview was for today. I forgot Jose was for today too. Shout out to the reminders. Damn, where you at, Bruce? All right, I tried to wait for Bruce so we could do that. I guess I'll just reschedule him for the mañana or something. Catch me on the next one, NesGTO, Instagram and Twitter. Peace.